As we serve through camps and outreach projects, our goal is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we also learn that when we share the gospel, we help people explore their true identity in God. For instance, when we share the gospel story, we communicate, you are created by God. Or we communicate, you are loved by God. You are broken, you are sinful, but you can be redeemed, you can be saved. You are precious in God's eyes. We learn that we are God's beloved children. We learn that we are elected or called for good deeds that God prepared for us. In fact, one of our roles as parents and grandparents and teachers in the church is to tell a young generation who they are. Our responsibility and privilege is to tell them about their identity. If we don't, the world that surrounds us is going to tell them who they are. And I don't want to demonize it, but we need to be aware that some resources, people, and institutions can twist the identity of people, of individuals in this world. On the other hand, other good, reliable resources can strengthen and make our identity healthy and in line with God's truth. So both of these identity resources can be compared to fresh, clean water and poisoned water. Just imagine a brook with clean water and another with poisoned water. Good water gives energy and strength and enables our body to function well. Poisoned water can cause sickness, make us weak, and even cause death. The same happens with identity. The true identity we find in God, revealed in the Bible, is life-giving. The identity that comes from this world is often twisted and distorted and can literally bring death. So the question is, why do we need to talk about identity? Should Church of Christ talk about identity? And why identity is so important? So identity is important because it shapes the direction of human life. This is the first reason. Identity determines what we do. Identity determines what we think about. Identity determines how I treat myself. Identity determines how I treat other people. Identity determines what I do daily, what I do with my life. So for instance, I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. As we know, the 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are new creation. If we are born again Christians, it means we are new creation. And this means that as a new creation in Christ, I want to please and honor God with my life. Before I came to faith in Christ, I didn't care about God and I didn't care about people. I cared about myself, about my business, about my needs, my desires. But since entering this relationship with Him, my desire is to love God and love people. I'm not perfect with it. I'm still under construction. But I know that I want to love God and I want to love people. Because my God loves me and loves the people around me. I'm the husband of my wife. This is my second identity. So the first one, the first identity, I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. The second identity is I'm the husband of my wife. This means that I desire to love her unconditionally, lead bravely, provide faithfully, and protect sacrificially. Of course, this is the ideal. That's who I want to be. Am I good in it? Ask my wife after Sunday service is over. My third identity, I'm the father of my children. This means I spend time with them, love them, provide for them, lead them into a mature life, and protect them from an evil or harm or identity confusion. Because identity confusion doesn't help. And if you are a parent, you do the same thing or you do similar things because you love your children. And of course, there is identity that is connected with our job, with our workplace. So if you are a nurse, you find yourself daily in a medical facility. If you are a teacher, you are at school, a sales associate, you are in the store. Our identity determines our lives. So a long time ago, I heard a story about somebody who thought he was Batman and jumped through a window. And I'm not sure if this is true or not, but when I hear this kind of story, I'm not sure if I should cry or I should laugh. But this story reminds us of how our identity makes us fall or rise in our lives. So we need to talk about identity because we live in an age of identity confusion and theft. I'm not talking about data theft like social security and other numbers that are important to us, but I'm talking about our spiritual identity. In fact, Jesus warns us in the parable of the sower, remember the four types of different soil, and in Mark, this is in Gospel of Mark chapter 4, verse 15, when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word sown in them. So this is a really interesting parable that Jesus shared, and it shows that the Satan is the one that is trying to take away from us the truth, who you are, who we are, and who God is. So God's enemy doesn't want you to know that you are loved by God. He doesn't want you to know that you are created by God, forgiven by God. No, he wants you to believe that you are not significant, you are not forgiven and not loved, and you are a result of chance. He wants you to believe in his lies. So the author of the book, The Shack, William Paul Young, I'm sure that some of you have watched this movie, The Shack. He said something very interesting about identity. And this is the quote. Parents, mothers and fathers, have a way of telling their sons and daughters the truth of who they are, and when we lose that, when nobody tells us, we are open to every lie. I'm going to read it again because this I found it really interesting and really good. Fathers and mothers have a way of telling their sons and daughters the truth of who they are. And when we lose that, when nobody tells us, we are open to every lie. So this means that we have the privilege and responsibility to tell our kids who they are. The responsibility and privilege to tell them who they are in Christ. So let's open our Bibles. Let's open God's truth and learn a couple of facts about how we are called to tell our sons and daughters and the young generation who they are in Christ. So it's Matthew chapter 3, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill a righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased." And this is the key verse, that what the Father, Godfather says here to the son, to his son. This is our key verse. I'm going to read again, verse 17. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. So in today's language, this last verse would go like this. "This is my son that I love so much, and I am so proud of him." Or a more personal version goes like this. "You are my son. I love you so much, and I am proud of you." So this is a very clear example of the Father declaring who Jesus is and what kind of relationship is between them. So the question that comes to my mind is, why has God the Father said these words? Did Jesus not know who he was and what his relationship was with his Father? Was he unaware, confused? Why did God the Father speak these words? So first of all, Jesus knew who he was and what his relationship with his Father was. He also knew what his mission was about. And in fact, in the Gospel of John, we find seven statements that include the important phrase, "I am." Jesus repeats many times, "I am." And he says, "I am the bread of life." He says, "I am the door. I am the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life divine." The truth is that the whole gospel just tells us about Jesus' identity, tells us and explains who Jesus is, and says, he's the Son of God, he's the Savior, the Messiah, Lord, Creator. For example, John 3:16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And then verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So Jesus knew what his relationship with his Father was. It was a loving Father-Son relationship. And this passage also says plainly that Jesus knew what his mission was. He was sent to save the world, sent to save people from their sins. So the question is, so why did God the Father announce out loud what Jesus, his beloved son, already knew? Why to announce something that he already knows? He knows his identity. Why this big announcement? "You are my son, I love you, I'm pleased with you." Why? First of all, I believe he does it for other people, the witnesses of Jesus' baptism, so they know who Jesus is. So Jesus is his son, a very special, very unique person. He's the Messiah, somebody that needs a special announcement in history. This moment cannot go by unnoticed in history. He's the one that is going to accomplish a significant part of God's plan of salvation. So God the Father speaks out loud from heaven. So the people witnessing his baptism knew Jesus was sent by God and knew, oh, he's a very special person sent to us from God. Secondly, I believe that these words are spoken because God the Father simply is proud of his son. God the Father was simply proud of his son. So when our sons and daughters accomplish something great, we are simply proud and express it. So here is something really amazing. This is the moment when the public ministry of Jesus is being launched. And God the Father is so proud of his son to the point that he expresses it in an audible, unique way. And the witnesses that were there, they heard it. They heard God's audible voice. Thirdly, I think Jesus is also reminded and reaffirmed by his heavenly Father that he's dearly loved by his Father. Sure, the Father does it for people, but Jesus is also the recipient of these words. So we know well that we need to be reminded that we are loved. As we're busy and lives go on, we need to hear the simple phrase, I love you, I'm pleased with you, I'm satisfied with you. And again, I love you, I'm pleased with you. And again, I love you. Anyway, we see the Father saying, this is my Son. This is my Son, whom I love. And then there is a fourth reason. I believe that the Father declared these words, so today we can learn how important it is to tell our sons and daughters who they are and how we love them. So the question is, how can I help my child understand who they are in Christ? How can I help them with their identity? How can I build the true identity of my child? And I would like to share with you three thoughts that hopefully will help you. So the first, if we want to build the true identity of our child, we need to spend time with our child. Simple. We understand it. Psalm 71, verse 18 says, even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. In other words, this verse says, Lord, help me use my time wisely. Help me to invest my time into the young generation so I will tell them about you and your power. So what would be an application? Spend a little bit of time daily with your child, of course. Maybe this means that we need to drop something in our life, busy life. I know we're all busy. Maybe we have to prune something, or we have to simplify something. Maybe there is some activity that simply does not add value to my life. Think about it. Maybe I do something and it just simply doesn't make sense. It doesn't add anything to my life, has almost like no value. Why I'm doing this? I don't know why I'm doing this. Doesn't benefit me, my family, nobody. So maybe I can drop it and I can spend a little bit of my time with my child or children. The second, take your child for a date. And this is really exciting for me, at least, you know, just when you can just go and get ice cream. For example, get ice cream, or just go and have a simple breakfast, you know, and spend time with your child and just talk about life, about their dislikes and likes and what's going on. Just, you know, and it's beneficial for you because you eat good breakfast. And it's beneficial for your relationship with your child. Just take your child for a date. The third one, remember special occasions in the life of your child. Be a part of them, and special occasions are truly special and unique, and make sure you celebrate them and you're part of them. And hopefully one day your children will say, I remember when my mama or my father took me somewhere, or just there was a big birthday party and they did this and that, you know, just we want to have this good memories, and we want to build this relationship because it helps us to build their identity and tell them who they are in Christ. Remember, your time with your child is limited. Remember about it, you know, just like our children spend with us only X amount of time and they are gone. They are adults. And when I think about my family, you know, just my children are in age 13, 15, 17. So when you think about it, there is not much time left. So we can actively invest in them. So spend time with your child and remember that they won't be small forever. One day they will become adults. It's going to be a horrible day. Okay. Okay, so first, time. Spend time with your children. And I know that some of you have no problem with spending time with your kids. You know, some of us, we struggle a little bit, but just remember about it. In order to build a true identity in my child, I need to communicate and speak words that carry life. This is very important. God the Father gives such a wonderful example when he declared, "This is my son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." So when have you stopped in your life to tell your son or daughter, "You are my son or you are my daughter, and I love you so much, and I'm proud of you"? Expand your vocabulary by words that speak life. And such add such phrases to your vocabulary like, "I'm proud of you," "You look beautiful," "You are handsome," "You are smart," "You behaved like a true gentleman," "Wonderful job," "You are precious to me and you are precious to God," "You can do it," "Don't give up," "Let's do it together," "I enjoyed spending time with you," "Your mother and I love you a lot," "I miss you," "I pray for you." Which of these phrases should you use more often when you communicate with your children? The third one, the third point is very crucial and fundamental and says, share the spiritual truths revealed in the Bible. And I would like to read a passage from the fifth book of Moses, which is Deuteronomy. Did I say it well? Okay, it's chapter 11, verses 18 through 21. Deuteronomy. Chapter 11, verses 18 through 21. Okay, the Polish word for this book, the translation, Deuteronomy, is Deuteronomium. So it's a hard one. Anyway. Chapter 18, verses 18 through 21. Imprint these words of mine on your hearts and minds. Bind them as a sign on your hands and let them be a symbol on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lay down and when you get up. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your city gates, so that as long as the heavens are above the earth, your days and those of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your fathers. In other words, share the spiritual heritage we have in the Bible. Read the Bible to your children. Read the Bible together. Because the Bible is the ultimate source of our identity. The book is your ultimate identity. And this book should define us. This book says who you are. I know we all carry a driver's license. Yes, this is our kind of like basic identity. You know, just Andrzej Korytkowski, social security number, and you know, those other things. But our true identity is found in this book. Do you know that when we learn the truth about God revealed in the Bible, we learn who we are? We learn about our true identity? For example, when we read about God, I learn that. And again, I already quoted John 3:16. When I read this passage, I learned that this verse, I read that God loves me. Simple, short passage, words of Jesus, for God's all over the world. Jesus says it. What does it tell me? It tells me that God loves me. Another, Jeremiah 29:11. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, God has good plans and a future for me. Maybe we have a time, you know, just we have 25 minutes more, so I can read it. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. The plans for you, for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Isn't it inspiring? And it tells me what God thinks about me when I read this verse. I see that God wishes me well. He wants well. He has good future for me. Or another one. We read this, Psalm 139, Psalm 139, two verses, 13, 14. For it was you who created me inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. So God is my creator. I'm not the result of the chance or just big explosion, but God, who loves this world, created me. I also learned that I'm broken and sinful and no one is perfect and there is a penalty for my sin. I'm going to read it because this is the part of this story that we find in this book. Romans 3:23, we know it very well. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then we read that there is a penalty, eternal penalty, because we sinned. But the story doesn't end in this point. The story continues, and God says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that God forgives my sin. And there are many verses that reminds us that God is the one that he wants to forgive our sins. That's why Jesus came on this earth. And then another one reminds me that God is my Savior, Romans 5:8. And another one reminds me that God is my Father. And I'm going to read this one. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Therefore, you should pray like this. And this is how Jesus starts his prayer. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. And he continues, but what do I learn from this short verse? I learn that God is my Father. He's my Father. Plus, there are many more verses that tell us who we are in God's eyes. Here we have right in the front of us the best and most reliable book that tells the truth of who we are. The book that should define every single fiber of our lives. The Bible, God's work, the book about our true identity. Don't try to find your identity in other resources. This is the best resource to find your identity. And I learned from the Bible that the people equipped in the best way to tell their children who they are, do you know who these people are? The people who are best equipped to tell them, to tell their children who they are. School? Teachers? Who are these people? Parents. Mother and father. Because parents are called to love their children and in the same time called to reflect God's love and grace through their parenting. In other words, we are called to reflect God himself when we parent and love and show grace and goodness and discipline to our children. We parents, and I would add grandparents today, are have this great responsibility and privilege to tell our children and grandchildren and young generation who they are, who they truly are. So spending time with them, communicating with children, speaking life, sharing your spiritual heritage, telling them that truth is so crucial because we want them to know truth and who they are in God's eyes. And I have learned that when God tells when God tells the truth, he does it in the context of love. Very often he speaks in the context of love, but when he deals with hypocrites, oh, he's very plain and strong. But most of the time, it's really when he shares the truth, he shares the truth in the context of love. And love is important when we share God's truth, any truth with people. So now I would like to read a short passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So let's open this last passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read the first three verses. First three verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. So this is the passage. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. If I spend time with them, when I spend time with my children, share good words and even spiritual truth and blessings, but I have no love for them, it will be hard to tell them who they are and what their identity is, because the truth calls for love. Because I love them and I want to tell the truth about their identity, I want to tell them who they are in Christ, and when they see that I love them, they will receive the truth from me, because I love them, and the truth needs love. In conclusion, think about Jesus. He knew who he was. He knew his identity. The Son of God, the Messiah, Savior, who came to save sinners from their sins and restore us to relationship with Creator of this world, God alone. So Jesus, with great determination, and because he knew who he was, Jesus, with great determination and persistence, kept moving toward the cross where he died for our sins. Because he was aware of our destination away from God. He saw our hopelessness and horrible eternity without God. It was our destination. And because he was aware of it, he kept going toward the cross where he died for our sins. He became the perfect sacrifice. He died in our place for our wrongdoings, took our punishment. On the third day, he rose from the dead. Therefore, today I can say, I know who I am. I know I was broken. I was far from God. But today I am forgiven. I'm loved. I'm special and significant. I am elected. I am chosen for the good deeds that God prepared for me. I am his child. I'm a citizen of heaven because I received Christ by faith into my life and my heart. I know who I am. I know how precious my life is for my heavenly Father. So the questions are, who or what ultimately defines your identity? Who or what defines your identity? The internet, Facebook. We post something and we feel good for a moment, and then we have to post it again and again and again. Other people, accomplishments. The truth about your identity is right here in this book. So read it, think about it, memorize it, fill your mind and heart with it, and share it with your sons and daughters and grandchildren and younger generation. Share with them who they are in Christ. And when you tell them who they are, use this book every single time when you tell them about it. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we are so thankful that we know who we are. We know where we come from and what our destination is. We know our value and who we are for you. Lord, we know that we were broken, but we are restored, forgiven and loved unconditionally. And our entire identity is found in you, our God and Creator. You are our Creator, and we are your creation. And this identity we find in Jesus Christ makes an enormous and amazing difference in our life. Lord, and we're praying that we'll remember to tell our sons and daughters and the younger generation that they are our sons and daughters and we love them and we're proud of them because you love them and you are proud of them. Help us, God, to do it every single day, to tell the truth about our identity. And we're praying in Jesus' name, amen.